This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two, coming alive for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Fates will be determined tonight. Lottery NBA. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Terry Rozier, some interesting comments on Kyrie. Yeah. We'll get to that dynamic with the Celtics. Really paints a very, very disjointed picture. Could the Sixers explore Simmons for a LeBron trade? And if so, would you do it? And speaking of trades or possible trades, that is the focus of our Twitter question, our poll question. It's on Tiki and Tierney. I just voted here, and the results are a little surprising. So if you land the first overall pick and know you can get Zion, would you trade him for Anthony Davis? Mm-hmm. And I said yes. I voted yeah. AD is the sure thing. He's already an established superstar. I know he's a little bit brittle, but he's definitely a superstar. Zion is not. As much as we want to package him as one, he might not become one.
Right.
He might become better than AD. Although the chances of that happening, I would think, are less than him becoming. I believe he will be more disappointing than he will be better than Anthony Davis. That's a fair statement.
The positive, though, if you're thinking about the comparison of the two, he's younger, seven mm-hmm. years.
Sure.
So he's got plenty of time. And he's much, much, much cheaper being on a rookie deal.
That's
at least
true.
For the next few years. So,
yeah, only 30%. Of the voters align with me, 70% of you, and I get it, Zion's the fresh and the mm-hmm. young, the energetic, the tantalizingly, you know, everything that the unknown
right.
is a powerful tool with Zion Williamson. Yeah, the other thing, too, is, you know, and we said this a little bit in the first hour here, like if it's the Cavs, the Suns, the Bulls, the Hawks, or the other teams, the Wizards, you wouldn't imagine Anthony Davis would sign an extension there. So I don't want to make this all about the Knicks, but I want to make sure, although I actually kind of do, I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Like, who else could win the lottery tonight? Guys, help me if I'm missing somebody that you believe AD would acquiesce and sign with.
Yeah, a desirable long-term location.
Yes.
For Anthony Davis.
Because you're not going to give up Zion for a rental for, you know, let's trade for AD and hope that we can coerce him like Kawhi. You got to have it on the table. You got to have it on lockdown.
Here's a scenario that's interesting. What happens if the New Orleans Pelicans?
I thought about that driving in.
Right?
It's funny.
Who were at 6%. Yeah. You know, they look. You got 8 percentage points, so you could do it. 6% if the New Orleans Pelicans draft Zion Williamson, would you think? Do you think that Anthony Davis now says, "Wait, I finally got another star here with me"?
That's funny.
I don't know.
That's funny. Lakers for sure. I mean, if the Lakers were to magically win this at 2%, you would imagine that then the Pelicans would finally sit down and engage them in a trade.
I agree. The Lakers are one.
Mavericks. Samter said
Dallas,
that in my ear.
I'd say call, Dallas Mike. Because of the two kids that are already there.
Mm-hmm. Doncic and the other guy.
He who shall not be named.
That guy.
Kristaps Porzingis. Mm-hmm. But that's in the Knicks. I mean, other than maybe Atlanta, because Atlanta's an interesting city. And it feels like it's a team that not too long from now will be viable if they get enough pieces around Anthony Davis. Because they'd have to get really – they're young, but they'd have to get really aggressive if they were to go get Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a couple of really young players on rookie contracts, so they could do it. But Atlanta on the fringe maybe would be a place I could see Anthony Davis saying, I like it here. I want to be here.
I would also throw – I guess you have to factor this in, and I know they had a good relationship. I don't know if it was good enough where it might, you know, entice him or, you know, prove motivation for him to stay, but what about, you know, he played for Monty Williams, and if he's a huge, if he's a devout Monty Williams guy,
with
the Suns' young core, just to throw it out there, keep it fair, throw everybody in the mix.
Yeah, and look, they have a ton of talent out there.
Yes, they do. I almost wonder if they're going to have too much talent. Like, I ran through, like, if they were to win the lottery.
Meaning Phoenix.
Talking about Phoenix. Yep. You got Booker, you got you would have Zion, you have DeAndre Ayton, you have Josh Jackson, you have Mikal Bridges.
Jeez.
You have T.J. Warren. That's a lot of young bodies.
It's almost,
I don't know. Maybe
it
could work.
It's almost too young.
And too many.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. But I think that will be a good problem to have if you have a good GM, which, you know, the Suns usually kind of get in their own way. But usually a lot of assets is a good thing, mm-hmm. not a detriment. Let's hear from Colby Altman, the Cavaliers GM, on tonight's draft lottery. Let's see what he's got to say.
On its own merits, I think we have tremendous resources. We are positioned really well for the future. We are going to draft a high-impact player, regardless of where the ping-pong balls land. And so all those things together are a big part of us being an attractive destination.
Okay, so that's Colby Altman, the Cavaliers GM. How about this story? Now, again, if you listen to Tiki and Tierney, we've talked, you know, a long time ago, we brought up the notion of possibly looking into trading LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one aspect of this story. The other aspect, and we've talked about this as well, I've been very adamant, I would look into, and you heard it in the open there, it's one of the cuts that Mike put together. I guess I said it last week. I would really actively look to trade Ben Simmons while he still has, I don't think he's ever getting a jump shot. Mm-hmm. I just don't. CYO, AAU, high school, college, 1 year at LSU, college, 2 years NBA. Doesn't have a jump shot yet.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever have one. So, and the deeper he gets into his career and there's still no jump shot, then you begin to marginalize his value. So I would do it now. Point being, would you trade, if you're the Sixers, would you trade Ben Simmons for LeBron James?
From the Sixers?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's 100%.
100%. Because
for 2 years of prime.
2 years of prime.
And about 2 years worth of headaches.
So let's assume, because we had this conversation, we made assumptions, because there's a bunch of guys that are going to end up leaving. Jimmy Butler, potentially, Tobias Harris, or J.J. Redick. Two of those three, I think, are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler ends up staying. So now, all of a sudden, you have... Problem is, you got to find a shooter, though.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to find... You got to find the J.J. Redick, whoever that is. Not J.J.
Redick. And not for $23 million.
Exactly. Not J.J. Redick, but J.J. Redick.
True. Like a Joe young Joe Harris.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good one. Because... with LeBron and then Joel Embiid and then Jimmy Butler, you got a veteran enough core where you feel immediately viable. LeBron's, I mean, we discount him a little bit last year because of the turmoil that's happening with the Los Angeles Lakers, but he was amazing his season, at least the ones that he was healthy. And so you just worry about his health. But other than that, they look like a team with LeBron James and without Ben Simmons that could beat anybody in the mm-hmm. East. So I'd say yes. From an LA standpoint, no chance.
No chance.
No chance.
Why not?
Because what are you gaining? You have Lonzo out there already. So if you get rid of LeBron James, Lonzo's got to keep evolving into your point guard of the future, or whatever that means. And so Ben Simmons now comes in. Neither one of them can shoot. Like, what?
It's a good point.
You put yourself in a very ugly situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you got health issues with the other young kids. You just feel like you're resetting if you're the Los Angeles Lakers without actually having a plan going forward. Now, that could be par for the course for LA because it feels like they're going that route anyway.
Yeah, it does.
With Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd. But if I'm LA, I wouldn't do it. But if I'm the 76ers, if I even got an inkling that they wanted to do that, I'm all over it.
We'll get some of these calls here in a sec. I was thinking about this as you were talking about the Embiid, the potential. And again, far-fetched,
right.
Probably not going to happen, but it's out there, so we'll kick the tires. If it was Embiid, Butler, and LeBron, now, I'm sure you could come up with an example, but that would be incredibly unique to me in this regard. You would have Joel Embiid, who was just entering his prime.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jimmy Butler, who was firmly entrenched in the middle of his prime. And you would have LeBron, who is just entering the final phase of his prime.
Yeah.
And I don't know of another team that would have quite that dynamic. Like one just entering, one right in the middle, yeah, one right at the end.
The problem, and you might worry.
Lakers with Elgin Baylor at the end, yeah, and Jerry West. I'm just trying to think
that
historically.
That was so long ago.
No, I know.
You can't even relate to it.
No, I'm just, you know,
the one thing that is interesting about that scenario is that none of them are peers, right? They won't know each other per se, right? Or hang in the same circle. So, yeah, they're teammates, but. That would be odd. It's not like, you know.
I think Butler and Joel Embiid get along. I think they have a really good synergy. I think that they're tight.
On court? Off court.
But Butler's defended him. I think Butler really values Embiid.
Maybe.
And I think LeBron values good players.
I'm thinking of the age difference, though.
Well, are they going to go hang out, clubbing? Whatever. You go your way, I'll see you at the arena.
True. When LeBron was in Miami, yeah. And it was.
But that was different. Those were his two best. That was his best boy.
They were hanging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was also a lot younger.
True. True. That's what I mean, though. LeBron's the old man. Jimmy Butler's like the middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid's the baby.
Yeah. You think Durant, Clay, and Steph go hanging out? I don't think they do. I think Clay.
No, but
Steph goes home to his wife.
But you know what? They're closer in age, right? And they. I don't see them hanging out.
No.
I don't think KD hangs out anyways. I don't think he would hang out with anybody anywhere. I think he's just a chill dude.
Hey, you know, as long as you got a little company.
Right. All matters.
That's all you need. 855-212-4227. Jeff is in Tampa Bay. Jeff is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Jeff? How are you today?
Afternoon, guys.
Hey.
What's happening?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Brandon, before I get into the mix, I want to let you know I was St. John's manager 88-92 with Malik and Sproling.
Chucky Sproling. Yeah, sure. Nice, yeah. Man. Rest of Malik, one of the great guys. That's cool. Good stuff, man.
So anyway. Kyrie, Durant, and Davis. Like you said, Davis is brittle. And I know that Cavalier Kyrie was immature, but I'm still a little nervous. It's two teams now, and how do I know that that's not going to come an issue with the Knicks?
You don't.
So I propose this. Ja Morant, Kawhi, and KD.
I would prefer that, actually. I would prefer that. What you're bringing to the table about Kyrie, and there's a story we'll get to in a little bit. You know, Jeff, first organization, you're young. Oh, okay, you'll learn. Then you go to another team, and now they kind of want you to leave as well, and now you're just creating things on the fly and disregarding, allegedly, Brad Stevens' game plan. I mean, this is now two teams and two circumstances where Kyrie Irving is that happy.
But we also said the same thing about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler with the Chicago Bulls.
We did say that.
And then ultimately with Minnesota. Yeah. It's like, maybe it's Jimmy.
We did say that.
He stabilized that with the 76ers.
True.
And so.
True.
Yeah.
True. The only thing that, very true, a good point. The difference, though, is like Kyrie, who's ball dominant, if he goes off script, it could really adversely affect the on-court stuff. Because
right.
Now it's like,
it's a good
okay,
point.
What are you doing, Kyrie? We're supposed to do this. Where are you going?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler never had anything on court.
It was all just
managing relationships with people.
Yep.
Nothing on court. You're right.
He seems to really fit in Philly. I'd be stunned if he goes.
I would agree.
We'll see. Tony's in Detroit, and Tony is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Tony? How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. You were wanted to reference, we're talking about a team in the lottery like the Knicks that could have the juice with the Zion trade. I know the percentages are extremely low, but I would say the Sixers and Celtics, if they get that Sacramento pick and work their way up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Two teams that are relevant. Two teams with talent, two teams that call off the deal. I would put them ahead of the Knicks, but again, very low they win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
The Celtics, good job on
though,
that, Tom.
I mean, didn't his father,
who?
Anthony Davis,
said
father,
something about the Celtics.
Like, that's not where we want to be.
Yeah, I think AD kind of scrubbed that, although you never really scrub it from the internet.
True.
I think he tried to scrub it.
True, but it was a statement that wasn't. It wasn't like an organized statement. We're not going to sign. It was kind of like just said in passing, which kind of gives it more credence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because you would think that it's a window into his son's soul.
Exactly.
It's not like his dad just created this thought that he doesn't like Boston.
I agree.
Talk about it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, Boston, it makes sense because of the talent that's there. But I feel like there's something off with Boston with AD. At least his father.
I think there's something actually off with Boston. You know, and I almost don't want to do this because Danny Ainge is recovering from a minor heart attack. And certainly want to give him a chance to get right.
Yeah.
I don't want to start burying him. And there's no need to bury him because Danny's a great basketball mind. But, you know, he's not the A-plus executive that people position him to be. I mean, think about this. I mean, you know, this dynasty that he's supposed to be building – you know,
it's a long time coming.
Yeah, and it's going backwards.
You're right.
Quite frankly.
You're right.
They got to recover. He's got to have a good summer this year.
I know it.
No? 855-212-4227. Okay, it's such a great NBA day. Your team, you know, what are you hoping for tonight? The whole Anthony Davis trade aspect, if you get Zion or if you get number one, would you trade for him? This is a lot to unpack, so we'll just hand it over to you. We'll keep taking some calls here. We'll do football at the 40s after that. But next segment, more of your calls right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. And brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here, simulcast across the country. 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. Tomorrow, Sir Nick Faldo. Get ready for a little PGA Championship preview. Sir Nick.
I like Nick.
Yeah, CBS.
I played Baltusrol with Nick.
You played with Sir Nick.
Yeah, a while ago now. It's probably four or five years ago.
Uh-huh. I remember when you did that.
Great. Still, I mean, he had been off the course for a long time because he's doing studio work.
Uh-huh.
He hits it a ton, man.
I would melt in his presence on the course, meaning I would freeze up and I would unravel.
No, you know what?
He would make me tense.
You know
and
what happened though? Because he was like part of what I was. It was at Baltusrol, so part of what it was like a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So he was teaching like a clinic and like how to do all these things and take you know how to hit this shot or that shot or whatever. And then I went out and played with him.
Mm-hmm. Was that a Thuzio thing?
No, it was an event that the guy I bought my house from, his wife got it for him.
Okay.
And so because I knew Nick's girlfriend at the time,
mm-hmm.
She invited. Me to go play with them.
Gotcha.
So I came. It was great.
Yeah, pretty serendipitous. I actually got a good house, and you got to play with Nick.
Exactly. I actually got like calm around him. It was weird. Like, it's no different than the Joe Flacco thing that we'll talk about. Like, you pick it up via osmosis.
Nah, I don't know
like,
if I would
I'm
pick
telling
it up.
You, dude.
I'd pick up nerves. Like, I could feel him just staring at you. Like, look at this hack. How dare this?
Well,
this
comes
guy's
off
beneath
that way.
Me.
He comes off that way.
Yeah, I know, right?
But he's not that way.
Cool.
He's not.
Cool.
He's actually really cool.
He's going to be with us here Wednesday. So when we bring up, well, he's going to remember the round with Tiki?
Yeah, of course.
A couple
he will.
Of shank jobs, a couple
of
worm burgers.
I took the tee from him on 17.
Did you? Oh, you told me. You told off of par three, right?
Par three.
Speaking of golf, I picked up a new piece of equipment today. Yeah. Got a little TaylorMade M6 driver. M6.
Nice.
So daddy's going to treat himself.
That gives you about 5 more yards.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. 855-212-4227 here on what should be a really fun night. I mean, nobody knows how this is going to go. But what we do know is that the evidence is starting to mount against Kyrie Irving in terms of being a good teammate. Or at least a teammate that, I guess, I don't know that I even need to qualify it. I think if you, let me just read this and you tell me if I'm off base with characterizing him possibly as not a good teammate. All right. So he was on Get Up today on ESPN, and Terry Rozier was, not Kyrie.
Yeah.
And Rozier spoke about some of the challenges that come along with, you know, when you play with Kyrie Irving. He said, quote, you have to adjust to his style. Whatever Kyrie wants done, he's going to show it. That's what he wants done, and you have to adjust to his style of play. All right. Went on to say, admitted he felt like the Celtics were doing a better job of adjusting to his style toward the end of the year, but then he hinted the all-star point guard has a tendency to ignore the game plan, freelance, and do what he wants.
Wow.
Quote, we'd come into the game, and it would be a different plan than what we expected and went through in practice. It was different. End quote. That's not good.
No.
That's not good on any level. You can't frame that positively at all.
Yeah, the thing that I first took away from this, BT, is why would Terry Rozier offer that up? Just, hey, guess what? Kyrie's a bad teammate. Or he freelances out on the court, just positioning himself against Kyrie in a sense. Now, he didn't say it that viciously, so it could be interpreted differently, but that's what it sounds like he's trying to do. But it tells me that Terry Rozier wants out of Boston, and he can't coexist with Kyrie. And it was little things that he was saying, like, you know, there were certain plays where Kyrie wasn't supposed to be on the court, but he was on the court, and that's why he was freelance. And so it was like, yeah, this was supposed to be me on the court, but Kyrie didn't want to come off, or Brad Stevens, you know, didn't distribute minutes the right way. It was odd. There was a lot of underlying, like, meaning to what Terry Rozier was saying.
Was he dropping that at Brad Stevens' doorstep, or is it fully at Kyrie Irving's?
I think it's a little bit of both, but it's at least some at Brad Stevens'
doorstep. I would think so.
The question is, what happens with Terry Rozier? I mean,
Kyrie's going to be gone.
I can't see them coexisting. So even if Kyrie is gone,
he's gone.
Is this type of, I don't know, opening the doors to the Boston Celtics going to be accepted? And it's interesting what's going to happen with this team, and because we saw so much progress from in 2018, 2017, 2018, they kind of just disappeared in 2018-19. So I don't know who to fully blame. Part of it is Kyrie. Part of it's Brad Stevens. Part of it's, you know, new adjustment for some of these role players. It's Boston's in an interesting spot because they could either figure it out and correct course, or they could start to, you know, tailspin a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I said what I said about Danny Ainge before. Mike pulled something. This was Terry Rozier after the season-ending loss to the Bucks on Thursday. Here he is.
I thank God for my family and my boys back at the crib. They kept me level-headed all year because I've been dealing with some You know, I feel like we still all had that one goal. It wasn't easy on Coach dealing with a lot of guys that want to be great, trying to get there. So, like I said, it's been a tough year, especially for me, but it ain't about me. That's why I don't complain or nothing. It's just tough dealing with all the talent we had. And, you know, different guys want to be in the limelight. Guys already in the limelight. That, you know, it's just been a lot.
Okay. Good stuff there from Terry. Speaking from the heart.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a huge Rozier fan. You got to make sure you don't pay him too much.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Terry, I don't know a single NBA GM or a coach that wouldn't want Terry Rozier on their team.
Agreed.
He's a pit bull. You know, back to the whole freelance thing here. Like, because you do have to at least, I think, qualify it a little bit. If I'm Kyrie Irving, or if I'm any other player that's good enough and kind of has that unspoken freedom to break off script without being penalized by the head coach, I have that talent.
That's Kyrie.
Which is Kyrie for sure. It's a short list, but he's on it. Like, if I'm down 17 and my team's lethargic and I just say, listen, clear it out, man. I'm either getting two free throws or I'm getting a bucket. Move. Get out of the way. Or if I'm up big and the lead dwindles and the opponent goes on an 11-0 run and that lead goes from 17 to 6, I might do the same thing. Hey, I got to end this. I got to stop this hemorrhaging. Move. Clear it out. I'm going to the rim. That's fine. But is it within the general context of a game, or is it when things go awry? Because if it's when things go awry, I'm actually okay with that because that's when the alphas rise up and do what they have to do.
Well, that's
the other stuff I would question.
That's what he saw LeBron do for all those years in Cleveland, or the three years he was with him in Cleveland. That's what LeBron would do, right? And he and LeBron would put their heads down and like, I don't care what Ty Lue or David Blatt is calling. This is you're scoring, I'm scoring. You're scoring, I'm scoring. That's how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And
but isn't that what the great ones do?
Yeah.
They've always done that historically.
Of course they
have. Steph's going to do it tonight if they go down big. Watch.
The problem is it didn't work for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyrie tried to do that. He shot 7 of 22 and then 6 of 22. He was bad. So he's not as good as LeBron is at doing that. And so that's when it becomes detrimental. Even if it's the right thing to do in the moment, you got to be successful. Otherwise, you get criticized.
Yeah, let me get Marvin in Sacramento real quick before we get the update. Get back to a little football at the 40, some good NFL items. Marvin, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
You know what's happening. I'm fine.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, before I get on the Knicks, let me say the Lakers would be absolute fools to do that. It would just not benefit them at all.
Yeah, set them back.
Would be more like you guys said.
Tiki said that. I'm not so sure it wouldn't benefit them to get 15 years younger and a lot cheaper.
Not with him. Not with him. Simply, he's not the complete player that they need. LeBron is complete. Even though he's old, he's complete.
Yeah.
But as far as the Knicks are concerned, the Knicks would do better if they could draw Davis or Durant to them, a superstar. They'd be better with J.R. Barrett than they would be with Zion. Zion with the Knicks, Zion would require the ball too much. The Knicks would do better. J.R. Barrett is more
RJ, RJ, player RJ.
At this point.
Yeah.
And he'd fit, RJ, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He'd fit in a lot better and whatnot. He reminds me of Barkley coming out.
Marvin, I disagree again. I don't think that Zion needs the ball. If you have Kevin Durant, thanks for the call, buddy. I mean, think about all the backdoor alley-oops. I mean, yeah. Zion Williamson's going to benefit from I don't agree with that at all.
I don't know if they play that way. I don't know if KD plays that way. I'm trying to
I think he's good enough and adaptable enough to play with whatever he's out there with.
I think you're right. I think Zion would benefit significantly from, as long as Kyrie's looking to be a distributor as opposed to just a scorer. And that's obviously something you have to think about, to be honest with you.
I got a perfect guard for him, but he's getting too old. Chris Paul. Chris Paul would be, I mean, with Zion, that would be perfect.
I think you're right.
That would be perfect. But Chris is getting a little up there, a little slow, a little thick.
Yeah, disappears.
CP3s. He's just not the, you know, it's
great. He's got the attitude. He's great. But
Just not what he was. And, agreed. You know, it's no shame in that. He's getting a little bit old. Tonight's going to be a lot of fun. And the game should be great, too. Like, I can't wait to see what kind of, you know, like the first 5 minutes of the game. You know, the Blazers to be in the Western Conference Finals, are they just happy to be there?
Yeah.
Or are they further galvanized by winning in Denver in Game 7 and they just come out on fire? I don't know.
Other than them, nobody saw the Blazers being in the Western Conference Finals.
That is absolutely true.
So, but it'll be this will be an interesting game to see that, their attitude and whether it carries them against the defending champs. Who were amazing, even without KD.
Yep, a lot of self-belief. I want to see if that Warriors bench is, you know, can they replicate what they did the other night? I don't know. Are you going to get 25 points from Looney and Livingston combined? I think it's going to be a tight one. The more I think about this, I'm loving the 7.5. Just saying. All right, coming up next, T, football at the 40s. Down to four teams for Hard Knocks. Down to four. We'll tell you who it is and who we hope it's going to be. After Rack's update right now, here's Rich. It's golf's next major coming up. It's the world's best going after prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger Woods going for back-to-back majors and number 16 overall. It's the PGA Championship coming up this weekend on CBS. So, obviously, the calendar's changed a bit. They pushed it up, which is nice. You have a nice sequence here. You go Augusta right into the Players Championship, into the Open Championship. It's just very different. The U.S. Open, I skipped that. Pardon me. And then the FedEx, if it's a Ryder Cup year, we've talked about this. The PGA kind of gets buried.
Where's the Open this year?
It's the U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open.
Why didn't I know that?
It's not jumping off the top of my head. That's why I'm asking, because usually you know.
Wait a second. It's not
where the Open is.
Where's the U.S. Open this year?
You know, Sampton?
Somebody look it up.
Pebble Beach.
It's Pebble Beach. It's Pebble. So here's some of the tee times, and we'll do football at the 40s. I got four good trios for you. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. 8:02 a.m., Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson.
Bubba.
Justin Rose getting off on the 10th hole.
Okay.
All right. Got a couple of the champions there. Ricky Fowler, a bunch of wins trying to get the major. Bubba's got a bunch. He's always got two. Justin's Masters. A big-time player. Yep, two Masters. You got Brooks Koepka.
Brooks.
Francesco Molinari, who's a beast. He's a tough, steely competitor.
What time is that?
That is at 8:24 a.m. Eastern. And Tiger Woods.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woo. Oh, thank you. You got a little Brooks, a little Francesco. I believe all Nike guys. I'm pretty sure Molinari's a Nike guy as well. Then you have a little later in the day, some long ones here. And at least two-thirds of the group are long. John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, and Jordan Spieth.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the first tee, conventional 1:16 Eastern start. And then at 1:38, they usually stagger this, so you get Tiger and Phil different parts of the day. You get a little Rory, a little Phil, a little Jason Day.
Oh, that's a good one,
too.
Oof,
at 1:38 Eastern. So that'll be a lot of fun. And we have Nick Faldo on the – actually, you know, I want to keep that. I was throwing that out. And we have Nick Faldo on the show tomorrow, which will be great, as I said earlier. Teek, you ready for a little football at the 40s?
Yep, let's hit it.
Here you go.
40-yard kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, I love it. You're a little lukewarm on it only because you lived it.
Yeah.
You know, so I watch Hard Knocks because I didn't live it. You know, you'll catch it here and there. I love it. To me, it just gets me ready for the season. Some years better than others for sure. Here's where we are with Hard Knocks. The 49ers now reportedly off the list here. Matt Maiocco does a great job out in the Bay Area. NBC Sports Bay Area said he's reporting the Niners will not be a team that's featured this year. Now, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch had lobbied the NFL not to put them out there, and the NFL usually adheres to those requests. They haven't forced anybody to do it that didn't want to do it. So we're down to four teams here. We've got Tiki's Giants, the Raiders.
I would watch that.
I'd watch anyone. Yeah. The Redskins and the Lions. The Lions, all due respect, appear to be by far the least interesting of the other three.
Yeah, you know what the problem is? Matt Patricia feels like he's trying to be like Bill Belichick as opposed to being his own person. And so until he gets success, we're going to feel like he's a Belichick wannabe. And it's unfair to him. Like, we don't know him from Adam. We've never talked to him. So, Matt, he just feels like, I don't know. There's just something odd about Matt Patricia right now. He has success. It'll change. The Skins.
Although, if he acts like an ass at the press conferences, that would be pretty good. Sit up straight when he asks me a question.
True. We could actually hear, like, context and intonation as opposed to reading it. That's what it could be. But still. Skins, really loving.
Oh, Dwayne Haskins. That would be interesting. Yeah, I would want to see that.
He's not going to be the starter.
But still, you're going to see him on camera. I'd love to see that, actually.
He doesn't have the personality. Yeah. I don't think he has the personality. He's a lovable kid, Dwayne Haskins.
I want to see if he can play. I don't care what he's like. I mean,
obviously,
I know he's a good kid.
Obviously, the one everybody wants to see is the Raiders.
The Raiders would be great. You know, the Giants would be boring. I'm sorry. The Giants would be boring. I mean,
I don't disagree, BT. I'd watch it because it'd give me insight onto my team.
Sure.
And I'm not in the locker room anymore.
But I would say if you're asking me 1 through 4,
Raiders
one of interest.
Raiders one, no doubt. Antonio Brown's out there too, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Raiders one. I would put the Redskins 2. I would put the Giants 3 and the Lions 4.
I'd have the same order.
Okay. Giants, maybe I would have put the Giants 1 if this guy was still on the Giants. Odell Beckham Jr. is not on the Giants. He's on the Browns. And the good news, I guess, for the Browns, he will attend their OTAs
here. Good job,
all right,
OBJ.
Play football,
do what
boy.
You're supposed to do. Look, I get why some of these guys skip their offseason activities. They're not mandatory because there's the mandatory mini camp. But the OTAs are just their team activities that mostly lifting. You get on the field for a little bit. Sometimes you're putting in meaningful parts of the playbook, but for the most part, that entire process is going to restart at training camp. Mm-hmm. And so you have a little bit of a head start, so it's not all the way necessary. But I think for Odell Beckham Jr., because he's at a new squad, he knows some of those guys pretty well, including his former teammate, Jarvis Landry. But a lot of those guys don't know him. And I think one of the most important things Odell can do is show this new Browns team why all of his former teammates, the New York Giants, loved him, right? Not the antics and not all that nonsense.
No, they all had his back.
Why they loved him in the locker room. So being around for the OTAs, I think, is a great move for Odell.
I love it. You know, I almost hate the word optics. It's kind of overused, a little lazy, whatever. But I do think the optics are good here. There's good symbolism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a 26-year-old veteran, and he's got a little something to prove here.
No
not
doubt.
His talent. His talents are great.
Right.
To his new teammates, he's got to prove something. As Tiki said, his old teammates love them. Despite all the other stuff, his teammates love them. It was the other stuff that was a little problematic. But, you know, you want to get some synergy with your quarterback. The Browns are trying to take a huge step forward. You got a rookie head coach. I think everything about this is positive. Good job by OBJ. All right, Kyle Rudolph, who we've had on the show many times. Not a star, but a solid tight end. He's been a solid tight end for a couple of years now. Out of Notre Dame with the Vikings, a good team. Kyle Rudolph would prefer to stay with the Vikings, and there's been some uncertainty here, and Rudolph wants to stay put.
I've stated it many a times, you know, my family, myself, we want to be here, and we're going to do everything we can to be here. But that doesn't mean if the alternative happens and we do get traded, change happens. You know, we've been so fortunate to be in one place for 8 years that you don't realize how many guys change teams on a yearly basis. That's not what we're hoping for. This is home for us. It's going to be home for us. And that's the way we want it to be.
Okay, good stuff there. Keep in mind, they did draft Irv Smith in round number 2, who's thought to be not quite Fant and Hockenson from Iowa, but that next cut,
he's an Alabama tight end. You know he's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's an athlete. The future for the Minnesota Vikings, Kyle Rudolph is 29 years old, and so he's not at the end by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope. I'll take him on the Jets if they get bored of him.
Look, he's had an excellent career with the Minnesota Vikings, and I understand it. Like, you have a family, you're somewhere for 8 seasons. It just becomes home for you. Right? You have kids. You don't want them to leave. There is the ability to coexist. with two tight ends. And in fact, you talk about a mentoring role for quarterbacks with, you know, we talked that with Joe Flacco and out in Denver. I think this would really be beneficial to Irv Smith to keep Kyle Rudolph around, even though I know that they're trying to move him, likely because of contract issues. But I hope that he stays there because he's as synonymous with the Vikings as any player over the last couple of years. Maybe because we know him well. He comes on the show often.
Yeah.
But he feels like a Viking.
And so he's good.
I'd hate to see him leave.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd like to see him work it out as well. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. 64 receptions a year ago, almost 650 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, DCs aren't terrified, you know, awake at night facing him, but he is a good complementary piece to an offense that should be even better if Cousins gets his act together in the red zone. So,
right.
Yeah, hopefully it winds up well because he seems to be a Viking and he seems to fit there. We'll see how it goes. This kid, you know, if I'm John Elway, I'm a little bit ticked off at this year. I understand that, you know, Von Miller puts the Broncos, I think, in a rough spot by basically becoming a pseudo-agent. He's stumping here for Chris Harris. I understand you want to stand up for your teammate. You want to stand up for your boy. I believe that Von Miller is even right.
He is
what he says about Chris Harris. Chris Harris is not 33. Chris Harris is 29 and still very good. But when you start putting this out there for, you know, for public dissemination about finances, it makes it tough on the franchise.
Yeah.
It's a fine line for me.
Yeah, it is a fine line because it puts the Broncos, it makes John Elway and the organization the bad guy, right? Everybody there loves Chris Harris as a teammate. I think the fans even love him. He's been so successful over the course of his career. But Von Miller is the man. Like, he is the guy out in Denver. And so what he says carries a ton of weight from a perceptual standpoint. So for him to basically, you know, put the team on blast in support of his teammate who he loves, it makes it awkward for them. It makes them bad guys when they shouldn't have to be, especially as they're trying to refine their fortunes.
Here's what Von Miller said. Sometimes when you first get here, they tell you if you play and you play well, we'll take care of you, Miller said. If you do all the right things in the community and you do all the right things on the field, they'll take care of you. Chris has definitely done everything and then some, whether it's in the community with his foundation or on the football field. He guards the top receiver. He's a top defensive back in the league. And you want to take care of guys like that. End quote. Hard to argue with anything he said.
No, I agreed with
you. Just complicates John Elway's position, as we said. But Von Miller's right.
Makes somebody a bad guy. And that's hard to do in team sports.
Ron's girlfriend. How do you say her last name? Kostic? Is that I know it's Camille's a phrase. Is it Kostic or Kostic? Kostic. Camille Kostic intimating that maybe Gronk is going to suit up again and play. Listen, this is going to be a story all year. I guarantee there will be at least two shows you and I do where probably right around, one right before the start of the season, God forbid if a good tight end gets hurt, or maybe midseason if Brady's getting a little bored, you know, a little public with his demands for a tight end or a new player. I think Gronk's coming back.
No, he's not.
I personally do.
He's not coming back. And look, he still has his rights are with the New England Patriots, so it's not like he's going to play for anybody else if he decides to sit out.
They could always work around
that. Of course.
You know, free him up and go somewhere.
But why, if you're Gronk, why would you want to go play with anybody else? Look, this comes up because his girlfriend is the new cover girl for Sports Illustrated, so there's a natural tie to getting something interesting in SI. It's a media thing. Do I think
SI swimsuit model still sells?
Yeah,
I mean, I cared about that when I was 16 years old. That's still out there.
Might be the only one that sells on stores. The magazine's still around online. The product is actually really interesting. You know, I do the Sports Illustrated show during the NFL season.
No, their content's good. The magazine,
good.
Though, who cares about the magazine?
Well, nobody does. Yeah. Nobody cares about any magazine. You get it all online. But the one magazine, if you want to pick it up, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Joe Thomas also lands with the NFL Network. That's official.
No surprise.
No surprise. Congrats to Joe. Although it was tough. I mean, Joe was doing stuff last year. And remember week two when Baker came in and beat the Jets? Who was on set? Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
Cheering on the Browns as an unbiased observer. I'm like, come on. I mean, come on, buddy. Can you at least pretend that
he
can play down the middle a little bit?
Man. He's going to be a homer. It's okay. But he's there for it. Be a homer.
He's there to be a homer?
No,
he's not there to be a homer. He's there to be an analyst.
It's his first year out.
I hear you.
You know what it is.
I'm just teasing.
You haven't figured it out yet.
Nah, he'll do fine.
He'll figure it out. Otherwise, he won't be doing it.
Otherwise, he won't figure it out. I hear you. That's true. All right, that was a quick 2 hours. Let's get back to hoops here. We got Marcus Thompson going to join us coming up next year, columnist for The Athletic and the author of the new KD book out there. So he's tied into Mr. Durant's thought process. Looking forward to the chat.
Yeah,
should be good.
See if he thinks KD is coming to New York.
He's coming to New York. You know he is.
Oh, he's coming. If he thinks he's coming to New York.
He's coming. Lottery tonight. He's coming. You don't think he's not coming, do you?
Oh, of course I do.
He's coming.
But I want to know if Marcus Thompson, the third, thinks he's coming.
The third? I'll ask him. What if it differs his opinion from Marcus Thompson? Second, should we be worried? We'll talk a little Warriors next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.